Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Say what you're thinking.
WhatsApp, Google it on Fupi.
063-688-0959.
Kaya Biz.
On the street, on the air.
First question a person should ask themselves is how much is enough? You know, once you are able to answer the question, then you know Oguti, Imalinga Ganan, that will keep you working. Because another thing is we should look at is when your salary increases, you see an opportunity to do some of the things you couldn't do with your previous salary. And Lendole will create your salary increase not to be enough. You keep on wanting more.
Whether when we work for about working for money, is it for love of money or the love of the work? Let's see. I don't know. Somewhere there. But I think it's relative. It's just like working for or marrying for love or marrying for money. So it's relative what makes you happy, because you could be happy with all that money and, you know, the guy doesn't really love you. Or you could be happy in love and still have money. So the same applies. You could do a job that you really love, pays you really good, or a job that you love, pays you just enough, and, you know, you go about your life. It really is relative what your needs and wants are. So, yeah. You know, life, it is what it is.
You know, commenting on the skyrocketing unemployment rate, it's very, very worrying, particularly for the unemployment graduates. I mean, the economy of this country is not growing, and ANC, GNU seems to be failing. We're going through the most, guys. I do have a job, but I know how painful it is to be an unemployment graduate, because I was once unemployed. Believe you me, it's really disheartening. I so wish like the corporate South Africa and the government could come and try to address unemployment, because the country is sitting on a ticking time bomb.
Myself, yeah, I'm grateful. I'm with an international organization in Africa, but we are based in South Africa, Johannesburg. So I'm a single mother. I'm a widow of three girls, and I stay in an upmarket suburb in Johannesburg, and it's paid up. And my kids are going international schools. So my salary, I'm grateful and thank you a lot for that. And the management of the organization that I'm working for. Thank you.
I love it when you send voice notes, because this is exactly what we want to hear, what your lived reality is, right? So we Tumelo, sharing her voice note there. That's the most recent one that you've heard, commenting on being grateful for work. Sim also commenting on a very important theme and conversation we shared, which is unemployment as a graduate. Now, that comes on the back of a conversation we had with Stats SA. And one of the key pointers that the Deputy Director General, Mr. Mulais, highlighted is that the trend, especially in the last few years, is that the rate of unemployment within graduates is what's increasing. It used to sit at about 8%. It's now just under 12%. So that is one that we're concerned about. Because that's essentially where the pressure point is. We're well aware those with matric or without matric tend to struggle in the job market, but unemployed graduates seem to be increasing ever so slightly. That also ties into a conversation we just wrapped up a moment ago, Nosisi Ndiwe from REM Channel, talking about work. Is it all for the love of the money, or are you passionate? Or do you need both? But the reality is that many South Africans are finding it difficult just in terms of the cost of living. So, yes, we want to be in purposeful positions, but we also want to be adequately remunerated for it. So, Sostombe Bonso, thank you again for sharing your feedback. We appreciate it. You too can also share your feedback. So get dialing. Send through those voice notes, 063-688-0959. I'm always excited to hear what you have to say around the conversations and themes that we're having. And coupled with that, in our next conversation, it will all make sense why many South Africans feel like they're under pressure to work more. Because the reality is that we are in debt. And it's not a bad thing to be in debt. Bear in mind, you can use credit for the right things. But what we need to manage is just being overly indebted and finding ourselves unable to pay or repay our debt to such an extent that it then compromises the rest of our lives and the quality of our lives. And it adds to the stress and frustration we have. So in a moment or two, we're going to answer a critical question many of us as South Africans often have, which is understanding why now more than ever are so many of us as South Africans using loans just to make ends meet.
Call Kaya Biz right now. 086-000-959. Call now. On the street. On the air.
Time to take a look at the reality of our pockets and our lives as South Africans. And let me make it clear, there's no judgment. Not at all, but just an opportunity for us to better understand the reality of the financial struggles and even opportunities that exist for us. But we're going to take a look now at Debt Busters and their first quarter 2025 debt index, which actually found that 91% of consumers who have applied for debt counseling in the first quarter had a personal loan and perhaps even a new record. So this helps us get into the technicalities to understand it better. But we also just want to get a clearer understanding of debt reduction and, of course, how it is that we can manage the concerns around debt counseling. For that, we join on the line by a good friend of the show, Benai Sega, Executive Head of Debt Busters, joining us tonight. Always a pleasure to have you, Benai. Welcome.
Thank you, Gugu, for having me on the show. It's always great to be here.
Fantastic. I guess as a reminder to all of us, when it comes to the debt index, we do just need to get clarity as to the quarterly report, why this matters, and most importantly, how this data is collated.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you said, it's quarterly. We publish it at the end of every quarter, and the one we're talking about now covers the period January to March 2025. We compile it looking at the statistics of incoming debt counseling applicant cohorts over those 3 month period. And we look at the debt levels, we look at their income levels. And I think for the first time, we also looked at how they're spending the money that remains after debt repayments in terms of their budgets. And we try to understand, incoming cohorts, the Q1 2025, how it compares to the same periods in previous years. To remind our listeners, because the business is somewhat cyclical, it's probably the best barometer we have to compare to same periods in previous years. So that's what we do every 3 months.
100%. And of course, this data is collated from a large number of your customers on your base and, I guess, evaluating some of the movements, shifts and behaviors that they demonstrate. Would that be correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I think predominantly in the new incoming cohorts, the new applicants, but also looking at how some of them may have shifted over time, exactly as you said.
100%. So what does the new data tell us now? Seems as though we're still struggling to make ends meet.
Yeah, we're still in a difficult period. I think the last time we spoke, we had spoken about, how 2024 ended. And I would say, as a reminder, we felt that 2024 was almost a tale of two halves, not equal in terms of length, but equal in terms of how we all felt. At some stage during the second half of 2024, I think we all got more optimistic. Load shedding was kind of a thing of the past. I know it's back today, but I mean, for the long haul, it has been gone away. We felt that the inflation, particularly the food inflation, was slowing down. And we got a couple of rate reductions towards the end of last year. And on top of that, I think the last thing was that we got access to some retirement, investments, yeah, if we had a need to use them. I think now going into 2025, we were all very optimistic. It hasn't quite turned out as optimistic as we thought. So I think firstly, it seems like those who applied for debt counseling, they needed about 69% of their take-home pay to service debt expenses.
And 69%?
Yes, and this is probably our highest number since 2017. We've seen this. It's quite worrying because last year, particularly in Q2 and Q3 of 2024, that number was coming down. It was about 62-odd%. Now it seems to have spiked a little bit. And that's generally driven by the overall debt burden. As you rightfully said, we all need debt. Debt is the other side of the same coin we call credit. Without credit, you know, we can't really achieve many of our life goals. So in itself, it's not a bad thing. It's just recognizing when it becomes burdensome, taking the right steps. And I must say, the debt counseling applicants are doing the right thing by saying, you know, responsibly they want to repay back their debt. At the same time, what we see are some of the other trends. It's about, as you said, 9 out of 10 had a personal loan. This is also a record. And about 37% had what we would call a one-month loan, or what might be more commonly known by our listeners as a payday loan. I think all of these things point to the fact that we really stretched. If you look at where we have to spend our money. Just to give you an example, like we said, for the first time, we looked at people's budgets after their debt repayments. And I was surprised that, you know, those probably our lowest earners are spending 50 to 51% of the take-home pay after debt repayments on food. And this is really crowding out any other thing that, you know, they can spend money on. And food is expensive, guys. Yes. It's really become expensive. And our reality is that another 15% or so is going to paying for our utilities. Our rates have gone up. Our electricity has gone up. Our transport has gone up over the last few years. So I think these legislated increases, which are, I would argue, not driven by demand, by other things, are actually really crowding out all the other money we have. The other thing we also found out is we looked at the basket of the expenditure that the different income groups have and compared that to the normal CPI stats. And it feels like, based on our research, you know, particularly lower income earners are feeling higher inflation than what the CPI is published. And the CPI, we have to remember, it's consumer price index. It's an overall thing. It has been coming down. But for some of us, it doesn't look like it has. And if it doesn't look like it's come down as much, the reason is, I think, you know, depends on what we're spending money on. And I think that's some of the effects that we are seeing. Yeah. Your big question at the beginning, why are we in debt? I think it's a complicated answer. And I think there's a number of drivers, like we said.
And I think this is so important, Bene, and maybe just to go back to one of the themes you mentioned, is that a lot of the costs here are actually being spent on the basics, food, accommodation. And that helps us understand that as South Africans, we're under pressure. Much of this debt we're taking on is not just for flashy handbags, holidays and luxuries, but it's really just to make sure that the basics are in place on a month-to-month basis.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There is, and I think that you would probably hear the same theme from whoever you speak in the industry, and particularly the demand on the higher earners coming out of COVID lockdowns. I think we mentioned it on this show a few times. That group in particular has been under severe pressure because they're also supporting a broader number of family members. That's what we are seeing. And as a result, they're also one of the few in their families who are able to borrow money. We also have to keep in mind that from a lending perspective, fewer and fewer people are receiving loans because there's more demand. If you look at the demand from the National Credit Regulator, the data, sorry, that, you know, 2/3 of applications for credit are rejected. That's full 67%.
Sure.
A few years ago, that number was around 55%. So over that period, the demand has skyrocketed. And at the same time, the rejections have also. What is that telling us? That's telling us that are people really trying to make ends meet by supplementing their lives with loans, but there's many more that are being declined because they're not seen as, you know, being credit worthy. And I think all of this is putting a lot of pressure on many of us. And I think that part of the results that you're seeing here is an outcome of that.
And you're right, because what we are seeing then is that South Africans are looking at a wide variety of credit options, right? And as you've mentioned, it's tighter and more difficult to actually get a loan or a credit card and financing for any particular debt or credit that you'd like to take on. What I'm also keen to understand is how this affects everyone, I guess, from, you know, those who have just started working and are on a basic income versus those who might have a little bit more leeway and earn more, essentially. Is this something that's impacting everyone right across the spectrum?
I think it has slightly different effects. I think if you are earning higher, chances are you are not feeling inflation as much. If you are earning less, you're definitely feeling inflation plus a little bit more than what is published as CPI. I do want to touch on also your previous guest, who was excellent, talking about particularly need the hope to know that there's a better future, particularly when it comes to you know, what's going to happen to them in 5, 10, 15 years' time. Those of them who are fortunate enough to get a foot through the door and have a source of income, my advice would be already start putting away a little bit of money for an emergency fund for yourself, whether it's 100 Rand a month or 500, it doesn't really matter. Start somewhere and forget about that money. And at the end of the year, you can go and see it's still there and you can use it for emergency funds or whatever else that you may need. You're building yourself a little bit of a cushion. What we see is particularly when it comes to, let's call it those under the age of 30, their average debt to income ratio is about 74%. Those over 30, now that's a really broad group, let's say between 30 and 40, it's about 100%.
Huh?
It's about 135%.
So, oh my goodness.
What I'm trying to say is if we catch ourselves early on, before the age of 30 particular, let's say 35, then we stand such a good chance. And I think the other piece of advice I would give is particularly when it comes to vehicles. Vehicles are expensive, and of course we certainly need them to, if we can afford them, to go to our jobs and whatever else. If you are considering making a vehicle purchase, really consider how much you will have to pay at the end of the term that you're signing up to, what's known as a balloon payment. Yes. Really consider whether you can afford to pay that. Really consider what kind of car is essential for you. And I think we've said this on the show before. What I see with young South Africans is someone who's between the ages of 25 to 30, the most important decision you're going to make when it comes to your credit is what kind of vehicle you're going to get financed. Mm. And the decision between, the difference between you having a prosperous future and having a future where your debt may become burdensome is one where you are overextending yourself beyond your means to pay for that vehicle that you may not necessarily need the high specs for. So think really, really carefully about that kind of decision, particularly for those age of 25 to 30.
This is you've given us such golden, I can't use the word advice because you're not giving us advice, but you're rather giving us some suggestions and recommendations on the back of this report. And I think this is so critical, Binay, because money, debt, it's a really personal thing, right? And even the assets that we want to accrue, for many in South Africa, there's still a view that these are indicators of a level of success or accomplishment, right? Like the car you drive, like the place you stay, and other assets that you're able to acquire. But maybe there's a lesson that you can also teach us here in terms of how to get favorable credit agreements. And I know favorable is relative because it depends on your personal credit profile, right? But even when it comes to vehicle financing, are there terms and conditions that we just need to be wary of or mindful of? Even when it comes to personal loans, the interest rates on a personal loan versus a credit card, are these some of the hang-ups where we typically find people finding themselves in a bit of a quagmire when it comes to the debt levels they have in the long term?
Yes, I'm glad you touched on interest rates because we are fortunate in the sense that in South Africa, maximum interest rates are legislated. And I say fortunate because in many countries, these maximum interest rates do not exist. So right now, as we sit here, the maximum interest rates, let's focus on personal loans, it's 28.5% per annum. So yes. What does that mean? It may not mean anything to you, but that's the maximum. So if you are considering and for vehicles, it's about 24.5%. So if you are, let's say, considering a vehicle, financing a vehicle, and you go to a dealership and you look at the paperwork and you look at the quote and you ask what the interest rate is, if that interest rate is really close to 24.5%, which is the legal maximum, you know you're not getting a good deal. So my suggestion would be go and look for an alternative quote. It doesn't mean you have to take the first one. Similarly with personal loan, if you are, you know, shop around. If you are being quoted in terms of the interest rate that you're going to pay back close to the legal limit, which is what we said, it's 28.5%, then go and look elsewhere. You may find a better deal still. Particularly if you have a long established relationship with a bank, you can always go back and say, this is beyond my means. What can you do, you know, in terms of interest rate? So definitely shop around when it comes to these are large commitments in terms of our, you know, monthly income. So we actually owe it to ourselves to be as diligent as many other things that we spend time and money on to make sure that we're getting the best deal.
100%. I think this is so, so critical. This is why I enjoy speaking to you, Benai. We always learn, you know, just when we think that, okay, we've got something going, we learn. And another thing I think that also might be a great lesson is for us to understand that the quote-unquote small debt, because typically that's what people think. It's a store account here, it's a personal loan here, it's a credit card there, maybe the vehicle financing here. But that and the performance of your credit score and credit profile can play an influence on the bigger debt that you would like to have. And I'm thinking home purchases here with a mortgage, or even if you happen to be an entrepreneur and your business gets vetted for financing, but you too as an entrepreneur get vetted for financing, that's where perhaps bad credit, quote unquote, bad credit behavior might also come to catch up with you. So is that also something that we might need to be have to be cognizant of?
I'm nodding my head. Absolutely, yes. Absolutely. Particularly what you said about, you know, business versus personal. It's really hard to get business credit in South Africa, particularly if you are a new business. You know, sometimes when you go and ask for credit, you'll be asked to produce 3 years of bank statements and financial statements. And let's face it, many of us may not have this. So what ends up happening is a lot of our entrepreneurs will end up borrowing under their own personal name as you know, because they cannot get business credit. So it's very critical for us to be able to get a good deal. It's really important that we're up to date with all the monies that we borrow in terms of paying it back, no matter, as you said, how small or how large the amount is. And this is why it's so important to really pay attention to the interest rate. You may have a small loan, but comes at a really a high interest rate, let's say 20% or 22%. And that's really going to eat up your salary. If you can close that and pay back that loan quickly, then it's going to free up a lot of your cash. And you know, it's going to allow you to have a better credit record, but at the same time, have more cash that you can invest in other things that you want to invest in.
100%. Oh, Benai, we need to have a workshop for young graduates, for people under 35, I think. Because then you throw in the reality of, you know, family dynamics, you know, marriage, children, homes, vehicle purchases, looking after loved ones, studying abroad, wanting to travel, all of that adds to so many complexities, but it really does take a heightened level of financial discipline. Thank you again for your time. I've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation.
It's always a pleasure to be on your show. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, Benai. That's Benai Sega, Executive Head of DebtBusters, talking us through the latest debt index by DebtBusters, which does show and staggering numbers that Benai shared with us. Essentially, for the average South African, especially those under the age of 30, your debt-to-income ratio, for every rand, they have to spend 75 cents on their debt. The older one moves, on average, according to the data. If you're 35 years and perhaps to 40s, 1-to-1. Every rand you spend, that same rand is going to settle credit. And then in other cases, it's 120%, where for every rand you earn, 120 rand needs to pay off debt. So again, seeing individuals struggle, going from pillar to post, begging Peter to pay Paul. And that is not what we want to find ourselves in when it comes to circumstances. As has been made clear by Benai, and of course the conversations we've had, we get it. Life is tough. Things are expensive. That is just the reality. But there are ways within which we can use credit for the right things, or for with the right access, and also doing so with a heightened level of consciousness and decision making. So, you know, are we looking to, you know, keep our funding and payments of debt going on a month-to-month basis, or, you know, looking at driving the fancy vehicles? And fancy vehicles are wonderful. Just make sure you can afford it. That's all. We also have a wonderful tweet here that's come through from Wendy Isaac, a good friend of the show, saying, I was having a great day and then this dead burden topic just finished me. At least we've got some guidance and we'll pass these suggestions on to younger siblings, especially the emphasis of vehicle financing. Fancy and luxury cars are really so unnecessary. Rather buy me a home. We hear you on that one, Wendy. We hear you on that one. Share your thoughts. What are your thoughts on better money management? Are you buying a car? Are you perhaps buying a different car? Maybe you're spending money on other things, but let us know. But ultimately, we know that the truth is many South Africans are all struggling because...
Call Kaya Biz right now. Right now.
086-000-959.
Call now.
On the street.
On the air.
Time. When you're a kid, it moves slower than a sloth trying to get through airport security. There is just so much of it. Skip forward a few years to your 20s. Time is still your friend.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.